Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Steve and Lisette are joining in for this conversation continuing from last week. So, friends, we started this big conversation on what should you do when your ministry is lonely. And if you haven't listened to the first episode, you should go back and listen to it. Lisette, have you ever met a volunteer in youth ministry that was lonely? And not lonely like they just... Well, maybe they just needed a friend, but like lonely, like in their ministry, they're experiencing loneliness. Do you know what I mean?
I do. They were sometimes looking for a friend or a date. It could be any number of things.
Yeah. But I do. That's where initially I was like, oh, it sounds like, yeah, I know a lot of single people in ministry that, yeah.
100%. Yeah. Could we set that up? No. No, I think there is a lot of lonely people. I just think in general, there are a lot of people that are more lonely than we think they are. But I think when people lead, so often they actually feel pretty lonely in their leadership and in the experience that they're having. And I think that can, sometimes you can hear it in the actual words, like, I feel lonely. But I don't think that's usually what you hear. I think usually it's, I'm discouraged. I feel overwhelmed. I don't know how to handle these things anymore. I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. I think often those are actually signs of loneliness and just feeling like what you're doing it so on your own, that you just wish you had somebody in it with you.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Because part of the reason when we jump into this conversation in particular, I think, gosh, I was emailing somebody this week about like this podcast and like, man, we hit some like hyper practical questions. Like, what do you do when your kids hate the small group questions or you have a teen that you really don't like that's in your small group? Right. And everybody's like, yeah, I get that. But this one's kind of like this, like cut to your core and to your soul. When, you know, when ministry is lonely. And so we may not always acknowledge it or we may not know how to even talk about it. So I just want to make sure that that's an experience. Steve, you've seen some people that are lonely in ministry?
Of course. I think loneliness is one of the hard realities of life, which I think life in ministry really amplifies it, doesn't it? You know, the state of heart that we're often in when we come into ministry, I just find the stresses and pressures of ministry tend to amplify some of those things.
Now, let me ask this before we get into the big content for today. So do you think, because as you say that, it makes me think, okay, we've got volunteers that are listening. Is it possible to be lonely in your ministry, but actually not lonely in the rest of your life? So in some ways you feel like, oh, it's just my experience as a volunteer that this doesn't really jive well, or I'm not experiencing it well, but like the rest of my life is great. Is that possible? Or do you find that it's usually bad in all camps? And this is an audio podcast, so nobody can see you both have very pensive looks.
Yeah. Well, I think we were both thinking. No, I guess I would say I think you can, because I think when you feel like any experience you're having in life, if you feel like you're having it without other people to share it with, that will feel lonely. So you might have things pumping everywhere in life, but feel like every time you show up to serve in youth ministry, you totally do that on your own and that experience isn't shared with anyone except for the kids you're dealing with, I think that would feel lonely. So I think, yeah.
That's good. Steve, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Hey, I'll roll with that. That sounded wise.
That's wise.
It might not be, but...
It's helpful because, again...
Thinking on that one. That's a good question.
Hey, I'm here to ask the good questions. And so people know there's certainly a level to these conversations. These are honest, real, authentic conversations. We're riffing here. We're kind of searching out because the stakes are high. We think about youth ministry in terms of the students we get to impact and then the people that are involved in those things. The stakes are high to do this ministry for the long haul, to be healthy in ministry, to see not just the kids in that we're currently investing in, but that we hope you as a volunteer would continue doing this for generations to come even. And so we want to make sure that these are the right experiences. So what should you do when you realize or discover that maybe your ministry is a little bit lonely as a volunteer? Steve, give us a quick recap on the three categories we're thinking about and which one are we covering today?
Right. We already started talking about the people who pour into us, and we were talking about our coaches, our counselors, our mentors. That's what we did. If any of that strikes you, head back to last week's episode where we really dig deep on those. Today, we're going to talk about the people that we run with. So there's the people we pour into that pour into us, and then there's the people that we are shoulder to shoulder running with. And then in the next episode, we're going to talk about the people that we pour into.
All right. So why is it important that we think about the people that we're running with? What do you mean by that, Steve?
You know, life is lonely in ministry when we don't have the right team around us, right? And this is where I'm really starting to think of the people that I serve with. And that's where I'm just thinking back to Lisette's response to your really deep question. I think we can get into a ministry context where we look around and it's like, man, I'm not sure if I've got the support or the camaraderie or, the supports that I need from this team or whatever. And so, you know, it can get lonely. And so I want to take a quick look around me and see what kinds of people do I have in my network, on my team, the people that I'm running with, and do I have strategic people that both catalyze the gifts that I have or the goals that I have? Do they fill some of the needs that I have? And, you know, do we amplify each other? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I like it. So thinking about this whole idea, walk us through some of the categories that you're thinking in.
Yeah. So I think when I think about the team that I run with or the people that I run with, I think of three groups of people. I think of the sounding board, my associates, the people who are close, but not so close that they won't be completely honest. I'll come back to that in just a second. I think of my wingman or my wing person, the people who are close to me, encourage me, get in the trenches with me. And then I think of soulmates. And I know that this one raised some eyebrows last time when I talked about it. And I just really like to separate the idea because we get the Hollywood sort of, there's one true soulmate in my life. But when I think about soulmates, I think about spiritual friendship, not just your romantic sort of thing. So why don't I just track back and talk a little bit about sounding board. I like to have people in my network. I think this is a valuable tool, is to have people in my network that I can share thoughts with, who are close enough to know my context and know enough about me that they can offer really honest feedback. Maybe not so close to me that they won't be completely honest. And, you know, as I'm talking about that, Lisette, I'm just wondering, when you think about the types of people that you would invite to your sounding board, people that you want to give you good feedback, who know you and your context, what are kinds of people that you choose to align with on your sounding board?
That's so good, Steve. That's such a good question. I feel like it sometimes depends on the type of question I'm asking. I might invite different people in depending on the different things that I'm looking at, right? Even for ministry and the types of ministry I'm doing. But I think I've tried to be really intentional to build like a network of people that love the Lord, who love ministry, even if it's not youth ministry, but love ministry. So have a sense of what the church is about and what we're trying to accomplish. But people that are just good leaders that come from really different, diverse types of thinking, and diverse life experiences. Because I think so often when we're trying to build something or we're thinking about something or wrestling with something, we can only see it from our vantage point because we're us. So, and even, you know, or the people that we're closest to. So I love having, you know, just a group of people that think a little differently, that see a little differently, that have experienced a little differently, but that I really trust their heart. And I think we share similar values and we share a desire for similar types of outcomes, but they're just good thinkers. Yeah.
Yeah, I really feel that diversity piece is so important in the sounding board.
Yeah.
I find that, you know, in my loneliness, I tend to surround myself with people that will largely agree with me in a lot of areas because I don't want challenge when I'm feeling lonely. However, I think the clarity that my sounding board gives me probably lets me emerge from that loneliness more effectively than a bunch of people that are telling me what I want to hear. Yeah. But I got to confess to you, Lisette, and this is something that I really admire about you, is I see your network and you've got such a broad spectrum of perspectives and experiences. And that's certainly something that I know I've wanted to grow in. And I wonder if the listeners need to grow that in that area too. When I look at my contact list, it's often comprised of about of a lot of people who think and talk and live and look like me. And so it's where I just kind of look over and I was like, oh man, I need to diversify a little bit, because each one of them will bring a perspective and experience that's different. And man, they really shore up where I might have some blind sides, right? That's what I lean on my sounding board for, is to protect me from some of those blind sides.
Let me just ask this, because, this might be pushback or it just might be clarification. So you said you're not looking for people on your sounding board that are just like people that agree with you. That's kind of sounds like the people that agree with you or think like you, those would be your friends. So a lot of times if I'm hearing the way that you're talking, I would think, oh, if I'm lonely in ministry, it's because I show up and I don't have any friends. Like I don't have anybody that actually is like me or in the way that like I can connect. And so is that covered in one of the other categories or...
You bet, Jer. You bet. The sounding board is the people that bring clarity. And sometimes our loneliness comes because we don't have clarity in our relationships. And sometimes you just need some honest feedback. And sometimes we surround ourselves with people who will tell us what we want to hear, which can actually perpetuate our loneliness, I feel, sometimes.
Okay, give me an example of that, because I don't quite understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just, you know, I don't want to drop names because my friends are out there listening and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm Steve Sounding Board. But I think that there's people within my team that come with a very different perspective. And I could be chasing down a tree and I can be going at something with my own blinders on and not landing. Right. And I'm just wondering, what is the struggle that I'm coming up against here? And just because my own lack of clarity, I don't see, what the barriers are, and then going to my sounding board and say, hey, can you tell me, what am I not seeing? And they're like, well, Steve, you've been charging at this one, but nobody's hearing you on that point or resonating with that. We're all over here in this area. And I've had people on my team that are so wonderful and so nice. They would die with me in the trenches, even when I'm wrong. And those people aren't often helpful to me, because like I can go like, why do I feel so lonely in this trench? We're dying here. It's because everyone's just applauding and encouraging, you know, things where my sounding board might say, well, actually, you might be in the wrong trench here. Why don't we jump over to the other trench? And all of a sudden, you find things landing more effectively.
I would say, though, to what you're asking, Jer, I think, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like when I think about those people, I would consider them my friends. I wouldn't say they're not my friends. I wouldn't say they're my deepest friendships, in the sense of they're not people I necessarily am like doing all kinds of things, but they're people I trust enough that I call when it matters, right? Because, you know, I've gotten to know them. But I think to what you're saying about loneliness, it's so interesting, because I'm thinking about one of the teams I was a part of, and they were people that I was not working directly in my ministry with, but they were people I was, you know, connected to through our church. And I would consider them friends, but we didn't do a lot together. I just enjoyed them as humans. But I remember the moment we were sitting in a room, four of us, and the three of them were really challenging me on a couple things. And I was like, didn't enjoy it in that very moment, but I walked away feeling less lonely than I had in so long, because I realized that they saw the weaknesses in me and loved me and believed in me still. And that was like a really stunning realization. And I was like, huh, I didn't realize how much I needed that type of person in my life.
Okay, I'm tracking. I still am wondering for like volunteers. I want to be cautious. It can sound like, so there's a couple of volunteers that are listening and they're like, hey, our ministry is like, there's two of us that are investing in like our 12 kids, and like they're counting up all the people that need to be a part of their world in terms of having the right amount of like support of pouring into you and with you. And they're like, there's not even that many people in our church. Like I can't imagine. And this is just like this small segment of my life. Like serving in ministry is like 3 hours a week. And so Steve, is there a way that you would say people can play different parts of these roles in our lives? Or like, what do you say to the volunteer that's like, yeah, I'm lonely, but my ministry is honestly, it's only a couple hours a week. I don't have time to invest 9 different relationships just to be better in these 3 hours. So you convince them that it's worth it, that it's worth finding it, or is there a different way of going about it?
Well, I don't think we even need to think of this just limited to just youth ministry life, but life in general.
Okay.
And there are just those people in my life that are a sounding board in multiple facets.
Okay.
And that can speak into, who will just give me honesty from alternate perspectives that I might just not be seeing. Now, just to differentiate here, I'm not looking for contrarians on my team that will just say, you know, when I say the sky is blue, they'll go, ah, no, today is actually more a shade of gray. Like, I'm not just looking for people who are disagreeable. I think one thing that Lisette had mentioned, and I just want to come back to, is do they have a common goal? You know, are we really centered on a central focus? They might see it differently, but at the end of the day, and I think of one of my best sounding board people, he will consistently send me messages saying, hey, I got your back, but he'll shoot straight. Whereas I can think of people in my life who have been honest with me, but I haven't been confident that they've had my back because they're the ones that'll hang me out to dry as quickly as, you know, can be when stuff starts hitting the fan, right? And all of a sudden you see and they've abandoned you. And it's like, oh, they were just a contrarian. They were just disagreeable. They weren't actually a true sounding board member because they were really in it for themselves or for their own agenda. They wanted to look spectacular and they were just hitching their wagon to a ministry that might make them look more successful. But once we actually hit some crisis, then they were going. So that's not a sounding board person. So you'd have to, you know, discern that in these people that will speak honestly to you. Do they also have your back?
Okay. Okay, so you're a volunteer. You got to have somebody that can be that sounding board for you and the things that you're wrestling with. And probably because as a volunteer, you're going to have lots of things that you're wrestling with as it pertains to your ministry, some of the relationships with, you know, parents or with other leaders. And so to have somebody that can give you that honest feedback, I'm assuming that would be a phenomenal gift. What are some of the other categories that you think in, Steve, that we got to make sure we've got around us?
Yeah, I think that the next really important, if you've got someone who's really honest with me and that will share thoughts, direct, honest thoughts with me, I also want to have someone close to me that will share life with me. You know, the person who is highly positive, perhaps energetic, shares interests, the person who I can have camaraderie with, you know, my wing person. And as I think about this, I think about one of my buddies just this the other day, we went and hit the highway on our road bikes and we just did a long bike ride together. And, you know, this is one of those people just will pump my tires, you know, will speak positivity into my life. And I would just be fully confident that this is one of those people that's going to get into the trenches with me and get dirty if I need them to. And yeah, just will have my heart in their minds, you know, how to just really cultivate health within me. And so, yeah.
Okay, I think about the guys I go to wings with, some of the guys I share memes with. That's what I do with maybe this category. Lisette, what do you do with the people in this category in your world?
In my world, it's coffee. It's a lot of coffee.
Okay.
Great coffee shops. That's what I do with some of those people. There's probably, there's some really great text threads out there as well, let me tell you.
Yes, that are probably not, you got to keep those secure and safe. Those don't go outside the group.
Absolutely. Correct. Yeah. It's just, you know.
These are your friends, right? Like these are the people that you're tracking with. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, people who leave me at the end, and I feel emotionally lifted.
Yeah,
after being with them. But I'm wondering, Lisette, where do you find good wing people in your life?
Oh, listen, I think those people are actually kind of hard to find. Can I be honest?
Right.
Because I've moved enough too that I think it gets harder. But I also think, I don't know, and I wonder. This, to be fair, this is when I would say I haven't been just. Let me not use that word. I haven't been a volunteer in a church for a long time. I've been on staff for so long. It's tricky for me to figure out how to have some of those people within my church context. I kind of sometimes feel like I need them outside of my church context. Mm. Because otherwise everything's connected to only one world. But I don't know how that feels as a congregant, like as somebody volunteering on one of our teams. I don't know what that feels like, but I do feel like I've found those people from, you know, as a mom, like friends of my kids, parents that you get to know along the way. It's through activities that are fun. I had a group of ladies that I used to do Zumba with. Let me tell you, they were so much fun.
Zumba.
You just need some people. Back in the day, did some Zumba. So I don't know. You just find your people in places, you know, places that you love being. That's kind of where you end up finding people that love the same things.
Steve, I think this is maybe one of the harder categories because I'm guessing the one that feels like the hardest to generate because it kind of has to be people that you're Like, you're almost like going on dates, trying to meet the people that are going to be your friends. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to put something out there, but oftentimes we're nervous to do that. And for anybody that's introverted, it's like terrifying to do that. But I, you know, I've moved a couple of times, and for Chantel and I, my wife, we just had to make this commitment. We looked at each other in the eye and said, okay, we're going to have awkward dinner parties. We're going to have awkward conversations with people after church, whatever it might be, to try to find who these folks will be until we can actually build that list around us. And sometimes it's like, you know, you're volunteering in youth ministry and maybe it's somebody, maybe they're a different, you know, generation than you, maybe they look different than you, but it's like, hey, why don't we go to Wings after and just see what happens and grab a few people, you know, from your volunteer team and see if that takes off. But it is, I think, maybe the hardest. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
You know, it's so true. And, you know, it is such a complicated sort of thing. Like Lisette said, sometimes when all of our wing people are within our ministry teams, it can become very monodimensional. And so, you know, that can be challenging. However, with that said, sometimes I find on the ministry teams that I serve with, that's the place where I find the highest concentration of people that I have stuff in common with. And so I can find some of my best wingmen there. So that can be really complicated. And you're right, Jared. Like, I think that just is a factor of time and trial and error and working through awkward relationships and challenges, you know, because we're as people, we bump into people too. And there's places where we're highly compatible and there are places where we need to extend each other grace. And so, yeah, it can be exhausting. But man, when you do land a few, right? Like, if you can all probably think of one or two people where it's like, yeah, after being with that person, I just feel better. You know, I just feel like someone, you know, cared about my heart.
Yeah, it's worth taking a risk, stepping across the room, inviting somebody out for coffee or wings or something along those lines, or funny meme chains, whatever is the love language for your friendship groups. Okay, so we got to have somebody that's alongside of us. And then what's your last category, Steve?
All right, so here's the soulmates. And let me just differentiate something here. When I say the word soulmate, so many people just instantly, you know, jump to, oh yeah, that's my romantic relationships and that sort of thing. And I, you know, there's a part of me that's sad that that's the first place that we kind of go to with that. I think it kind of just illustrates just where we're at in terms of understanding intimacy, you know, because I feel like there's a whole segment of people that I really need in my life. And those are the people who I can have deep spiritual friendship with. You know, when I think of a soulmate, I think it's of it as a person who will share and occupy the same spiritual space. And I sometimes struggle to find the words to really describe this because I've got these people in my life. You know, it can be a spouse, right? A spouse will really know us, you know, they'll know us physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and so that's where they just start to operate in that spiritual space with you. I also have other friends that when I pray together with them, it's kind of like, man, I'm starting to, you know, it feels like we're occupying same space here. Like, we are of one heart and mind. It's when I think of like the kind of friendship that David and Jonathan had, where, you know, and the thing that I just really struggle with in today's culture, when we sexualize that concept of soulmate or intimacy, you know, it just really, it really doesn't acknowledge the kind of intimacy that we can experience with another human being on a spiritual level. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's something that people have just not experienced a lot, but I hope that everyone has had at least a moment where when you're with a person, and whether it be through worship or through prayer, where you're just like, man, I feel so connected right now. That's why I think about soulmates.
That's a heavy one. It feels aspirational maybe for a lot of people. Maybe not something that comes very natural. I have a lot of questions about that, but maybe I would just leave it at, is this something that is we need to chase after, Steve, or do we just kind of discover it as we're journeying with people?
I think there's elements that can be cultivated, and I think they need to be appropriately cultivated. too. When I think about relationship formation, I kind of think of building blocks, and I think of the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, the spiritual. When I think about physical, I think of common interest, and that's the basic building block of most relationships, you know, when we play together. And we understand that because we do a lot of that as we introduce youth into our students into our youth programs, right? We do a lot of play together because that builds trust. And when we play together, I think that we let down the next guard. If we build trust through play, then students will share thoughts with us, right? And when we show hospitality for thoughts, they'll open up their emotions. And when there's hospitality for those emotions and good trust around that, I think people open up spiritually. And we could probably do a whole episode just on that progression and of itself. What I feel is sometimes a challenge is sometimes when we walk into a church, we kind of expect that we should be able to dive right into spiritual intimacy with another human being just because, you know, we believe the same things and that sort of thing. And I think that there is a bit of a progression where we have to have some commonalities in those other areas first. It's kind of like, it's kind of like going from meeting to marriage in short proximity. Like we test relationships, right? Before we discern this is someone that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. I think that there are, you know, levels of trust that we earn in a relationship when we kind of come to this place where we do experience that level of intimacy.
All right. Heavy stuff. So we've got some people listening. They're volunteers. They're a little bit lonely in ministry. They've got these three categories and they're like, I've got nobody in any of those categories. I think that's why I'm lonely. What should they do, Steve?
Well, I, you know, if I were to be them, I would sit down with a piece of paper and just kind of go, hey, who are my greatest potentials in these different areas? Start taking inventory, I think is a great place to start. And sometimes we see where our gaps are. You know, this is a place, you know, where a coach comes in really handy. Because this is one of those places where we often have blind sides is in relationships. Is sometimes we'll categorize, oh, I thought this person was a mentor, but really they're a sounding board member. You know what I'm saying? So taking inventory is a great place to start and start thinking about the types of people that you would want to have in some of those areas. And it's like, it'd be great to have a bunch of people in every category, but how about start with one category, one person, and start building relationships? Where's your area of greatest need?
To some people, it sounds exhausting to have people in every single category because it's a lot of relationships to manage. But maybe that's crazy or maybe that's part of the miss. I don't know. Tell me, is it okay to have seasons where you go without one category? Is that, or does that make your life a little bit empty?
Oh, dude, if I've been working at this for decades and I know I've got gaps in my relationship. How about you, Lisa? You've been at this for a while too.
Yeah, so many gaps. Like even as you're talking about this, I'm like, who do I put in these categories? Like really glad I have a husband I love, but I mean, it's tricky. And then there's so much I do think, I don't know, it feels like there's risk in this stuff, right? And it's like trying to step yourself out there. Like I think that's what I'm thinking about even as you're talking about it, because I would say, you know, it's funny. I just had it was not super awkward, but it was really funny. I just had a Zoom call with someone because I met her at a conference and she kind of felt like similar of spirit in what, you know, what we're learning and whatever. And I was like, let's have a Zoom call. Let's try to, like, I need a new friend, right? Like we all do. But it just, yeah, it feels risky. It feels slow. It's not like you're instantly soulmates. It's not like you're instantly have a wingman. I think that all of it takes time, right?
Fair enough. So if there's somebody that is, again, looking and saying, I've got nobody, is there like online dating for friendships or for youth workers? Like, how do you connect? If you can't find anybody, you're like, gosh, I'm in a small town in the middle of nowhere. I need a friend from somewhere else. How does that work?
I'm just thinking about, literally, I'm actually thinking about this, might sound crazy, but I've met a few people this way. We liked the same organization, like youth worker community is on Instagram. There's so many people that follow us that are all similar of heart and mind. What if you go follow some of them? Find someone that seems fun and send them a note. I've had so many Zoom calls with people that sent me random notes on Instagram. They're like, would you ever do a Zoom call? Sure. One of them's become a good friend. Like, it's the world we live in. There are ways to find communities of people. You don't even have to live near them, but they become your friends. So I would say go find a place that feels like-minded and see who you can find. Take a risk.
I like it. Why don't you wrap us up, Steve, and give some people some next steps if they want to stay connected or learn more about some of the stuff.
Well, I'm just thinking of where I go to find some of these people, and it's pretty amazing. We were just recently at a conference together, and you know, my social anxiety was kind of getting the best of me. I was like, oh, man, can I actually just walk up to a random person? And I was shocked to see how many people were in exactly the same boat as I was, just craving someone to have community with. And so, you know, just sometimes just getting into the context with people like this, you know, whether it be a conference or like Lisette said, even online or whatever, and just saying, hey, I wonder how you're feeling in this. And you know, take some risks in those relationships. And you know what? We are not so unique that no one would understand us, because I think a lot of us are having the exact same experiences through this.
That's fun. All right, everybody. Well, we'll drop some links in the show notes if you want to get connected with Steve, if you want to learn a little bit more. And if you are looking for some community of other youth workers, volunteers, we've got lots of ways to do that at Youth Worker Community. And so we'll leave you some invites to join us if you'd like to check out our coaching, all of that kind of stuff. Of course, we'd love to spark those conversations with you. And then Steve, you'll come back next week, eh? And tell us a little bit more about the people we pour into.
That's right.
I like
Looking forward to it.
We'll see you guys all back here next week for another episode of the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.